Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to declare the January meeting of the Knapshire Council open. And I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we are meeting today, the Wurundjeri and Bilbon people, and pay respect to the elders past, present and emerging. Please note that this meeting has been recorded in accordance with the new Local Government Act of 1995 as amended. As per the provisions of the Act, and the recording will be made available on the official council website for public access. Attendance apologies. We're all in attendance. There are no apologies.
Mr. President, can I just have the record amended to include myself as an attendee?
Yes, yeah, you're certainly here. Which proves that we don't read our attendance. Public question time. Question time when the members of the public can front the dais, give their name and address and ask a question about council business, which the CEO and myself will answer or attempt to answer. If not, we can't answer at this time, we'll put your questions on notice.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, Thomas Roden. I wish to quote from an article which was published on November the 24th, 2024 by Rebecca Barnett. Subheadline reads, this is giving context to my question. The Shire President hasn't read the scientific evidence of the contamination, but is angling to shut down community attempts to publicise it because he knows it would be false. Last weekend, says Rebecca, I was alerted by Nanup resident Ben Winfield that the local council had emailed medical practitioners in Nanup, informing them about excessive levels of synthetic residual DNA in Australian vials of the Moderna and Pfizer COVID vaccines. This followed Winfield's effort to bring to the attention of Nanup councillors the recent World First motion of the Port Hedland Council, calling for suspension of the shots until a thorough investigation can be conducted into the risks of the DNA contamination. Rebecca then quotes me. I'm so thrilled tonight because we just had a big win, Winfield wrote in a comment thread under a post on his Substack assessing 14 false and misleading claims made by the Therapeutic Goods Administration in a statement categorising reports of excessive synthetic DNA in shots as misinformation. Our council just forwarded the medical practitioners now to have the Port Hedland information. This is huge, I said. Over the phone, Nanup Shire Council President Tony Dean confirmed with Rebecca that the agenda for the Port Hedland Council special meeting on DNA contamination risks had been forwarded to Nanup Pharmacy, Medical Centre and Hospital, but not for the reason you might think. Councillor Dean said that the emails were intended to short-circuit activism in the Shire of Nanup in the wake of the Port Hedland motion, which has, quote, stirred up the anti-vaxxers in our town. Quote, we don't want that sort of division in our town, so that's why we've done it, said Councillor Dean. We've sent the link to the Town of Port Hedland meeting agenda to the three sets of people involved in healthcare in the Shire of Nanup and said, look, this is what they've done in Port Hedland. If you want to look at it, then feel free. We don't endorse it. Despite never having read the scientific report by virologist Dr. David Speaker, finding up to 145 times the regulatory limit of residual synthetic DNA in the COVID shots, Councillor Dean said, I know it would be false. Tony Dean went on, the science is quite clear on the stuff that I've read over the last 5 years, but there is no contamination by messenger RNA into DNA, said Councillor Dean, misunderstanding the contents of the report, which demonstrates that the vaccines have excessive levels of DNA, not normal RNA. He appears to have mixed up this issue with the matter of reverse transcription of mod RNA into DNA, for which there is only some early evidence in cultured liver cells. When I, that's Rebecca, highlighted that the report shows something different to what he had assumed, and asked how he knew the scientific evidence presented in the report was false, given his claim that he hadn't read it or had it assessed by an expert, Councillor Dean accused me of having a technique, using a technique also used by some in the town to create fear and misunderstanding between people. This week, councils in Ceduna, South Australia, West Tamar, Tasmania, joined Port Hedland in calling for action over DNA contamination in COVID mRNA vaccines. More councils are expected to consider similar motions in the coming month. So my questions are, who exactly had input into the email that was sent from the Nanup Shire CEO to the medical fraternity? As in, who exactly are the we, Mr. Dean, you refer to in the phrase, we do not endorse it?
Council has not endorsed the Town of Port Hedland's motion.
Did you meet and discuss, is there minutes to a meeting on the matter?
No, there was no request from any councillor to do so.
Can I ask by a show of hands?
No, B, you can't ask that.
Okay. So, number four, was it clear to you that this contamination is serious, particularly in Pfizer shops where simian virus 40 was found, known to promote and enhance the growth of cancer?
No comment. Are there other members of the public wish to answer questions?
Sorry?
Yes. Step up. Name and address.
Thanks, Tony. My age, guys, I'm no anti-vaxxer. Obviously, in clinical dropping from these shots left, right and centre. My best mate of my whole life, Ernest Fitzgerald, is dying before our eyes, and it's just killing me. My question to you is there any way that we can do anything about the shots in this town? Is there anyone in our council willing to look into it? Read the letters from the Port Hedland Shire. It's coming out now that there's a lot of problems with these jabs, and we're still sticking in kids, and we've still got signs at the chemist down there saying, coming for your shot, coming for your shot. But these things are killing people. They're harming people, and it's millions of people. So this is my question to you. I don't know. I'm the councillor. How do I push this forward? How do we push this forward? Is there anybody in this room willing to help or do something about the shots being administered in this town? Can we stop it in any way?
As a general rule of procedure, the Nanup Council follows the official health department line, as the stated experts in this field. So that's the first thing. Secondly, any councillor in this room is quite able at any time to bring forward any notice of motion to say or do what they like in terms of vaccination. We have not received any notification of such sort, so we carry on like we have.
Okay, I hear you going, Tony. This, we obviously sent a couple of letters to Q Dave before Christmas and didn't even really get any answers, really, and sent in about a petition, and you didn't answer us to say how we could do a legal petition or anything like that, so just felt it off the street like yourself, finds it a bit hard to push past if there's no help from your local. I'll endeavour to write another letter and send it to you next week, and maybe if you can have a look at that and shoot us a reply back, we'll see if we can push forward again and never give in, you know. It needs to stop, Ken. It needs to stop. Thank
I
you.
Did provide advice to...
Thanks, Rodney.
Do you
want to talk about it? No? Yes, thank you.
Thanks. I'll just... I did provide advice to B. Winfield about how to raise for a special electors meeting, which is what the requirements are if the community wanted to raise a special electors meeting. So I did provide a response to that letter. Yeah.
We aren't here to make any trouble. We weren't here to make any trouble before. We do a fair bit of research and we can see what's going on, okay? And we just want to stop it. We're not trying to waste your time, take up your time, stop the town, spend it. We don't spend ratepayers' money on special electors meetings and stuff like that. But the information's out there, and any of you folks can take a look at it just the same as we can take a look at it, you know. So we're just trying to do our best to move it forward. But if you're just going to keep smashing the hammer down and kicking us out the door, then it obviously makes it hard, you know. So we just hope that you realise the damage that these needles are causing, and that we stop them as quick as we can. And we might go away. I can't go away. But my brother, my sister, my dad's got bloody scabies all down his face, and he can't use his hands. My friend Warren Kingswood's got the same, he's got prostate cancer, he's got heart attacks. I can go on. I haven't got time, I'll get off the plane.
Thank you, Rod. Thank you, Rod. Any other questions from the public? Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kerry Wild. This is my husband, Tim Wild. We're a double valued owner. And the question that we want to put to the council is relating to the Alpine Resort. And for a little bit of context, having read the review of and the response from Leaders of the Public to the proposal, we noted a number of things, and one of them was the traffic assessment. And the traffic assessment was recorded as Dunnet Road is a two-lane road. It's safe for 50 kilometres per hour, and with up to 547 visitors to the proposed resort, there could be a maximum capacity of 200 cars on the gravel section of Dunnet Road per hour. So we noted that, and Ken and I are the only residents that actually live on the gravel section of Dunnet Road, and have, so other people, their properties border that particular section of Dunnet Road, but we have the only driveway on the gravel section of Dunnet Road. So we have 10 years of experience of traffic both sides. We live at the bottom of a very steep hill, and we just like to put a little bit of context to say that in reporting it from the traffic assessment as safe, and traffic either direction, 50 kilometres per hour up to 200, in our personal experience of the gravel, of the steepness, and towards the top of that gravel hill, you have no visibility as a cyclist, as a driver, or as a walker of what's coming in that other direction to you. So here are our comments.
Yeah, I think the question people might be unaware of the road is not often travelled like that. And I understand that that was made clear in the report as well. But the issue is over a space of 85 metres travelling, there's a 10 metre rise. So that's about 11% gradient. Main roads actually stipulates that or recommends that driveways are not over 8% because anything more than commercial vehicles can damage themselves. I've actually seen this happen with the Woolworths truck, which didn't make up at night and try and get up that road and had it back down and get it through. So, because it lost traction. This is a dangerous stretch of road, and I'd really highly recommend that the advice that someone at least travel to, and this is an opinion on it. I also note that in narrow sections there are trees adjacent to this stretch of road going down.
Maybe just take this as a deputation
and,
to the
at its narrowest point, it's like 3.9 metres wide.
That's where it's meant to be.
Which is not a two-lane, 50-kilometre-an-hour road. This is on gravel. And I can't go past cars. I certainly can't go around the push brake. I've had pedestrians get off the road in order to let them pass because there's no footpath. There's no cycleways. This is a dangerous stretch of road. And it will be frequented by people, primarily because when the resort is started, the address, for example, if you look at the bottom, the I think it's the second picture, is a bushfire assessment plan. The address is listed as 1 Dunnet Road. So Google Maps does not show where 1 Dunnet Road actually is. It's also listed in other places as 500 Rockman. But the point I'm making is that when people are travelling from Perth and they enter the address in this place, even though it might be a secondary entry for the chalets of Dunnet Road, they will come via Dunnet Road quite likely because of the shines and shortest path, especially during weekends, because that's the most direct. So I think we're going to see a lot more traffic on a very steep road with this extremely narrow. So I think the response was unclear about what kind of changes were going to be made to the road. I got the sense that there was going to be something done with the road. And I think, Tony, you even mentioned to me in person on previous occasions, just in passing, that the road is of some concern. I think everybody's aware of it here, but I think it requires a little review of this development.
I have two questions for council, so sorry for that long-winded context, but my two questions are, the first one is, how many of you as decision makers have actually travelled by car at 50 k's an hour up or down with potentially another 200 in that hour travelling
Okay, rhetorical question. Answering on behalf of the Shire, I can probably say without contradiction that none of us have.
Okay, my second question is in terms of the background and that Ken and I have discussed and what's in the traffic assessment and the proposal, how do you as councillors and decision makers respond to that traffic assessment that has said that the road is safe, that it's a double lane road and it's safe for up to 200 vehicles per hour to travel on it?
Well, not at this stage. I can't respond to that question. It's really not out of order, but it's something that we'll address as we work through the documentation of this process.
Okay, thank you for that. And my final comment is that's a document that sits with the proposal and it says it's safe. So I'm just going to leave that for you.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll take that as a presentation to the item rather than the question. Are there any other questions? Thank you. If not, move on. Item 4, leave of absence. Does any council want a leave of absence? Confirmation of the minutes. We have a series of minutes. 5.1. Thank you, Ron. Thank you. Thank you. Warren Blackwood Alliance of Councils. Be received. Councillor Hanson moved. Councillor Sly seconded. All those in favour? Against, carried.
Can I just make a comment?
Yes, certainly.
Just in the Shire Manor or the Council meeting?
5.2. Southwest Country Zone from the 22nd of November. Be received. Councillor Hanson. Councillor Curtis, any discussion? If not, all those in favour? Against, carried. Southwest Regional Road Group, be received. Councillor Gibb, Councillor Hanson, any discussion? If not, all those in favour? Against, carried. Shire of Nanup Ordinary Council meeting, 28th of November. Move in a second, please. Yep. Councillor Curtis, Councillor Sly, Councillor Curtis, you want to speak to it?
Yes.
Did you do both?
Yeah.
So did you leave the room?
I left the building.
She did.
Left the building. Okay. Noted. Noted. Councillors, can you also use your buttons when you talk? So with that amendment, moved by Councillor Curtis. All those in favour? Against, carried. Warren Black Alliance of Councils Board meeting, 10th of December. Councillor Hanson, Councillor Brown, any discussion? If not, all in favour? Against, carried. Announcements from the presiding member. There are none, except to just reiterate the recording of this meeting will be on that website. Disclosure of interest. I have two declarations of interest in front of me. Obviously, Councillor 11.3, Councillor Gibb, financial interest on item 11.3. Councillor Brown, you've got the same one, but you've got 11.3 as well. It's not 11.3.
Scheme amendment?
Yep. 11.2?
Yeah.
11.2, scheme amendment, has proximity interest or boundary it touches. Those two declarations, one of financial, one of proximity, means they both leave the room at the time of discussion. Questions of members, no due notice have been given. There are nil. Presentation and deputations. We've already had one of those, but we do have one. Paul Maserati, make presentation, Council, regarding agenda item 11.3. Paul.
Thanks for the opportunity to give a short overview. vision as we move forward. I've been given 10 minutes, so I'll keep it brief. Firstly, for those that you haven't met or are familiar with who I am, I'd like to give a short intro. I'm Paul Machani, the owner of and managing director of Paul Machani & Associates, in short, PMA. PMA is an architectural and project management company operating for an excess of 40 years. It is run by myself and my wife, Louise, as working managing directors and lead project designers. We employ staff in Perth, in our Perth office, and have several associated specialised design consultants that work on selected projects as required. Our forte of eco-sustainable tourism, accommodation and resource-style residential design was developed in Broome, WA since the early 80s, where we ran our business, raised our family, and contributed as community members for some 18 plus years. Although our main office is currently based in Perth, we have carried out award-winning projects across Australia. We now have a strong personal connection with Nana, since we purchased our 24-acre property back in 2011. Nana is an Atherton City home and our southwest regional place. A little bit of insight into the project itself. PMA were approached by the owners of Lot 500 Brockton Highway to consider what their already tourism zone property may sustainably yield to assess with the need for further accommodation in Nana. The project was named as Nana Alpine Resort by the owners at that time and therefore was referred to as such in the application. Although Nana had many short stays available, there were none that could accommodate larger numbers at one time. There was also a need for a more affordable overnight single beds such as unrelated mountain bikers that would be happy to be, which would be happy with a backpacker type accommodation and common facilities. We have done many award-winning backpackers in other towns such as Broome, WA. The proposed resort has a 40-bed backpackers, or in some cases recently referred to as bike packers. The lodge is an accommodation for 40 beds and will cater for those that just need a single bed and travel lightly. Bike riders predominantly travel in groups and pack very lightly. For this reason, they contribute to the economics of the town by way of purchasing food, fuel, general supplies and of course recreation. Motel accommodation varies yet again and provides an alternative. The chalets provide for either a couple's retreat or family stay, and for this reason we have only sited 6 chalets towards the neighbouring properties as they have far less traffic, noise and generally of a more subdued nature. I refer that to the exit onto Dunlop Road. With more accommodation comes a need for associated facilities. Such facilities were never designed or intended as competition to existing services in town. They are mainly to sustain the resort occupants and those increased numbers. It is important to understand why the project was designed as the size depicted. With our extensive experience in resort and eco-design, Lot 500 was designed as a master plan to determine and show its maximum realistic sustainability yield and ensuring that it could be supported with minimal effect on the surroundings. The project is designed in such a way that the developer could, if they so desire, complete it in stages, and more importantly, as the demand sees fit. However, it would be poor design practice to simply look at any project in small stages alone, and then gain approval on a need-be basis. With the entire resort designed, it then proves the future sustainability of growth from stage to stage, knowing the full impact and services required. With this said, the overall project design, as a master plan, is considerate of either being completed in stages or in its entirety if the need arises. Predominantly the services such as a restaurant, bar, conference room, base bar, cafe, swimming pool, etc. have been included to sustain the occupants and enhance their stay. However, history has demonstrated that such services would also support locals in both employment opportunities as well as use of the services themselves. It's not unusual for small towns to use an indoor swimming pool, but this would be subject to management at the time of operation. EV charging. The development would cater for the ongoing need and growing need for EV charging for the occupants as well as potential for locals. There's been many site considerations. ACH, Aboriginal Cultural Heritage, was one of them. We are very familiar with working with Indigenous groups and had successful projects, associations with various other projects in the Northwest. These included, but not limited to, Vito Beach Resort and Carrageenie National Park. For Lot 500, I personally contacted Kerikara and arranged a site walk around with their land manager and a Kerikara team leader. We have now ensured that they were quite taken by the proposal and the likely input they could have. Unfortunately, when it went back to the other people involved, higher up, it got a little bit difficult. So we have since then, we have ensured all structures, etc., are now outside the designated ACH zone in order to simplify the process. At some later date, they may be approached. However, for the purpose of this application, it should be noted that the resort has no bearing on ACMAX zone. The traffic assessment. Unfortunately, the couple which I can't remember the name, have left. Probably I could have answered the questions, but I'll address the council. Under the LDP, the local development plan, we engaged a team of traffic management consultants to carry out the assessment. The report was included in the LDP, with all questions and items of concern addressed. It shows that even at full capacity, the site complies. There are a few minor items to address at the next planning approval stage, and we are working with the Shire on these. I'll just add a little bit to that from the comments. I think their assessment of the traffic management assessment may be a little bit incorrect about numbers. So rather than me bring that up now, I just refer back to the process that we're going through with planners, with the Shire's planners, and we'll reassess those. But I just wanted to reassure everyone here and the people that have left that we're conscious of Dunnet Road being Dunnet Road and Gravel Road, hence why we've actually put only 6 chalets that will use that road. The internal traffic management, which may not be, have been interpreted, will show directional signs that there's no exit for the rest of the resort to go out that way. So we're looking at 6 chalets only going in and out. And if there is a problem going up the hill, then we would simply have to direct them out through Rockman Island. So there's ways around this, and that will follow through. And we've taken on board all the comments that were issued to us, and we will be addressing those with consideration, but not otherwise. The local water management strategy will be conducted by the next round of approvals. They were not supplied at the course, this would greatly improve the resort's appeal, but at the same time, rehabilitate the past destruction of Dry Brook. It was hoped that the cooperation and involvement of Carrie Carrot would hope with cooperation and involvement of Carrie Carrot. It should be noted that the waterway is no longer part of this application. It should not have any bearing on the project approval as they currently stand. Should the waterway be reconsidered in the future, then that will be treated as a separate project and under the approval process required at that time. Thanks for your time and look forward to the Shire's report for the project and what it means for a healthy economic and sustainable growth of Manor and the region. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Item 10, reports of members of attending committees. I'd imagine it's been pretty sparse in the last couple of weeks. Councillor Hanson?
The 10th of December, the Warren Blackwood Alliance of Councils board meeting. 9th of January, the Australia Day Committee. 9th of January, Strategic Forum. 16th of January, a meet with Wade Campo, the Liberal candidate, with the Shire election priorities. Monday the 20th of January, Senior Citizen Centre meeting with over 60 people attending and a very, very productive meeting. Tuesday the 21st of January, Family Fund Day as a volunteer.
Councillor Curtis.
January 23rd, the Ordinary Council meeting, January the 9th. January 9th, Australia Day meeting, and the Concept Forum meeting. January 16th, meet with Wade DeCampo, the Liberal candidate. January 17th, CEO review meeting. And January 20th, attended the Senior Citizen Concept meeting, which had a fantastic turnout. It was great to see. January 23rd, today's second CEO review meeting.
Councillor Fraser.
I did the 9th of January Australia Day meeting, strategic meeting, the Wayne DeCampo meeting, and Fund Day on Tuesday.
Councillor Brown.
10th of December Local Drug Action Group meeting, 12th of December Australia Day Committee, as well as a strategic forum on the same day. Shire of Nanup Christmas Sundown on the 13th of December. 9th of January Australia Day Committee meeting, 9th of January Strategic Forum, 16th of January Council met with the State Election candidate Wade DeCampo, 17th of January CEO review meeting, 20th of January Senior Citizens Centre meeting, Tuesday the 21st of January I volunteered at the Family Fun Day put on by the Shire of Nanup, and earlier today another CEO review meeting.
Councillor Sly.
9th of January Strategic Forum, 16th of January a meeting with Wade DeCampo, prospective Liberal candidate, 17th of January the CEO KPI review meeting, and the 23rd of January another CEO KPI review meeting.
Councillor Gibb.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Attended the various review of the CEO's position. I also was involved in correspondence to the Regional Roads Group, which I got a response back within a couple of hours, sort of giving me all the reasons why they can't come, why the Rob Barnsby can't come to Nanup, and referring me to other officers that have come. But that's the limit of my meetings. Thank you.
Yes, similar to a lot of the councillors, the information forums, the review meetings, something different. The South West Local Government Association hosted the board of WELGA, West Australian Local Government Association, in Bustle in the first week of December, the South West group was able to put forward a very comprehensive presentation to WELGA, and Warren Blackwood Alliance of Councils obviously also attended that meeting. I must take back my previous remarks, it was a busy month in retrospect. reports of officers. 11.1 delegated planning decisions. You have a recommendation on page 7. Councillor Brown has moved. Councillor Gibb has seconded. Councillor Brown.
Yeah, through the chair, I just wanted clarification. In the comment, it referred to November as having 8 delegated authorities to the value of $593,500. However, in the attachment 11.1.1 for November, it states there are only 4 to the value of $480,000. So I'm assuming that the attachment is correct.
So you go.
Through the chair. To check which one is the notice? Yeah. We'll find out and we'll let you know.
So given that, are we able to vote on it or does it need to lay on the table?
Yes, you're voting on attachment 11.11. If it's incorrect, it's an incorrect vote and has to be corrected later. So I suggest yes, lay on the table for further explanation. You move and second, are happy with that? Okay. 11.2. Councillor Brown has left the meeting at 5:08 p.m. She has declared a proximity interest in this decision. 11.2. And I find the recommendation. Recommendation there on page 12. Three-part recommendation. Can I have a move and a seconder? Councillor Hanson has moved. Councillor Sly has seconded. Councillor Hanson.
This motion is for the council to adopt a scheme amendment to rezone a portion of lot 11 Cundinup, Deniliup Road, Nanup, from priority agriculture to rural, and subsequently remove the additional site requirements number four at ASR 4 from the subject site as it relates specifically to land zone priority agriculture. We've already had this come before us in just different, covering the same topic, the same thing, council, and was passed at a council meeting on the 27th of June. So what this is we're coming along and just approving the paperwork as it's come through, as it comes through again. I think we've actually looked at this 4 times. So hopefully this one will, if the council accepts the recommendation as listed on that page 12, that the Shire President and CEO will be able to execute and place a common seal on the amendment number 2 of the documents and refer the scheme amendment to the WA Planning Commission.
Councillor Sly, anyone else wish to speak for or against? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Can we invite Councillor Brown back in? Councillor Brown. It was back in the room at 5 minutes, at 5:10. 11.3, local draft development plan, lot 500 Brockman Highway. Councillor Gibb has declared a financial interest in this and left the room at 5:11. You have a recommendation in front of you when I find it. Three-part recommendation. Can I move in a seconder, please? Councillor Hanson has moved. Councillor Brown has seconded. Councillor Hanson.
The applicant has lodged a draft local development plan for lot 500 Brockman Highway, Nanup, for consideration here by the council. It proposes a large-scale tourist development incorporating holiday accommodation, staff accommodation, restaurant, shops, playground, ancillary development. It's located on the eastern edge of the Nanup town site, bounded by Dunnet Road, Aspen Road and Brockman Highway. It is zoned tourism and it is subject to various constraints, including the Aboriginal heritage because of the dry brook, and partially impacted by possible flooding. There was a number of submissions attached at 11.3.2. Of these have been addressed within our this document. The noise assessment, within it was all future development is required to address noise regulations, with traffic that be suitably addressed in future planning stages, with the water, it is needed required to demonstrate development considerably managed water quantity and quality without creating off-site impacts. And the landscaping will predominantly existing local flora, additional landscaping to be carrying out using native species, with the landscaping strip along the Brockman Highway. This is for us to support in principle draft local development plan before considering whether or not to approve this plan. It requires a local water management strategy, the traffic impacts, and the updating of the local development plan. This is not us approving the actual development plan, just the process, the draft for it. So this is just the first stage, and therefore it has my support.
Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Mr. President, and apologies if I repeat Councillor Hanson's, however I'm going to follow my notes. Firstly, I'd like to acknowledge the submissions per attachment 11.3.2, as well as the presentation by Mr. and Mrs. Wild earlier this afternoon. I generally support the draft LDP with the expectation the key issues such as water and traffic management will be resolved before final approval, with a focus on addressing the technical and community concerns raised during the consultation period. These include concerns regarding water management, traffic impacts, and the need for further clarification on mitigation measures and development timing. However, the potential to contribute to the local economy through tourism and job creation is quite exciting. The recommendation ensures that for the project to proceed, the applicant must prepare a comprehensive local water management strategy to address the concerns raised in the report and the advice from the Department of Water, Environment and Regulation. This strategy should ensure the development can effectively manage water quality and quantity on site without adverse off-site impacts in accordance with DEWA standards. It will also ensure the review and update of traffic impact statement to address the identified traffic-related issues, including the proposed upgrades to Dunnet Road, which we heard about earlier this afternoon, the addition of a left-hand turn on Brockman Highway, and ensuring the safe management of traffic flow, particularly regarding the Moonlight Ridge subdivision. And thirdly, the update of the report, specifically in the implementation and explanatory sections to reflect the updated development details and address the concerns raised by the Shire, particularly in regard to infrastructure servicing, traffic impacts and design requirements. So I'll be supporting this application.
Any else want to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Fraser.
A proposed draft, I'll read my notes because it took a while to do this. A proposed draft for the local development has come to Council to consider a large-scale tourist development for lot 500 Brockman Highway, 100 hotel rooms, 40-bed lodge, 10 chalets on 8.5945 hectares, 189 parking space bays, room for 550 people, which is more or less pretty good. I have a few concerns regarding this development from what I have read and what I have looked at. The LPD states that the general upgrade and of the crossovers and roads to some extent shall be completed with local policies and agreed to by IDG Resource and the Shire of Nanup. found this comment interesting, as being told as a councillor the Shire does not get involved in private developments. Haven't heard this mentioned anywhere on the council or strategic meetings I have attended. Wasn't any mention of when the budget was being done that the Shire would be contributing to the slip lane, making a four-lane road at the entrance of the new development and the residential subdivision across the road. Design of 5-year traffic management, moderate, high impact, only did a DA for the subdivision, and what about all the other road uses coming up and down the highway? The road count was for 10 to 100 vehicles. The Shire actually roughly counted an average of 60 vehicles on the Brockman Highway and 13 on the Dunnet Road. The traffic management stated Dunnet Road could accommodate over 200 vehicles per hour comfortably, as we heard from the Wiles, and yet the waste pickup truck does not fully go down the Dunnet Road to exit onto the Brockman Highway. Then there's a problem where the water runs off from the residential development across the road. The stormwater runs off and goes into Lot 500, which noted as a possible contaminator site. On investigation, found a large wet area suggesting that the existence of a drainage problem and sludge that was of a previous sewage treatment works and waste management disposal site. If this water is to be diverted from entering Lot 500, at whose cost would it be? The Shire, the residential developer, or the resort developer? I notice in every map and picture of the proposed development, all the images of Drybrook has it in a straight line, which I find a bit confusing, knowing that waterways do not go in a straight line. It would be helpful at least if one image showed that the true area where everything was in its whole area will show how close it really, the buildings would be to the road and the creek line. The development is going to be connected to the water supply, which will increase the water usage. Has it all been taken into account? We are respecting the report, so we will look forward to interesting with that. Also, the development will be connected to the town's deep sewerage, which will it have the capacity to occupy another 500 people and use the systems? That will be something the developer or the Shire has to work out. There is a concern about the noise that would be coming from having 550 people staying. The amphitheatre, I think, could resolve this by doing a curfew times. No loud noise from guests from early mornings and the same at night. If there's going to be a concert at the amphitheatre, the organiser could do a well-in-advance publication the upcoming event. It was stated that it would have no impact on the natural waterways from putting in a lake and a head wall. I read that the head wall is being taken out and the lake. I'm assuming then the lake would not be put in now, which made me wonder if there was going to be an impact on the natural waterways. And they, one submitter stated that the dam was higher up from the development, which he helped build. Was not built to engineer design. Which we now know about it. One submitter stated that the dam higher up from the development, which he helped build, wasn't built to an engineer design. Which now that we know about it, what will it have an impact on the Shire, especially that dry brook below the development, if there is a problem? It was also noted it was a very, very wet spot on Scythe Hill just above Lot 500. There was no mention whatsoever of the 1982 flood. The flood water from the Blackwood River, which backed up the Dry Brook, which is a tributary of the Blackwood River, covered nearly all this lot. The only thing stated that the building has to be raised now by 68.7 metres from ground level. It was noted that the construction work opposed in the vicinity of the watercourse, which means there's a risk of mobilisation settlement entering the watercourse. There's no erosion or construction protection measures in the DA. There was limited technical documentation, including the LPD, no flora, fauna survey, Aboriginal heritage, landscaping, managed water management. I'm assuming all that now, but we have had some answers tonight. There was no mention of the use of the Lot 500, where once the area was a local slaughterhouse for all the town. Has the offal pits been identified, and shouldn't it not be a protective site to leave the dead undisturbed? As this is only a DA, I'm willing to vote for it, but would need my and the public's concerns answered before or when it comes back to council. I'm not willing to burden the ratepayers all the people of Nanup with a development that might cost them a lot of money in the future. As I have been told on my second council meeting by the Shire, as a Shire councillor, the Shire does not get involved with private developments.
Thank you, Councillor Fraser. Any else want to speak for or against the motion? If not, Councillor Hanson, right of reply.
No.
Okay. Be prepared to vote as printed. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Councillor Gibb re-entered the room at 5:22. Okay, 11.4 on the agenda, a three-part recommendation on 22. Move and a seconder, please.
I wish to move an alternative motion.
Yes, Councillor Hanson.
In item one, it has the Electoral Commission to be responsible for the conduct of the 2021 ordinary elections. I wish to change that to 2025.
You sure? Okay, it's not an alternative motion, it's a correction. We'll take that on board, yes. You wish to move the three part with that correction?
Yes.
May I ask a question?
We have a seconder first. Councillor Brown, second. After the mover and a seconder have had their say. Councillor Hanson.
This motion is to appoint the Electoral Commission to be responsible for the conduct of the 2025 ordinary elections. Now, the advantages of using the WA Electoral Commission is it increases the transparency. It also means that Shire staff are able to pursue other priorities and do their job. And the third one is we found it with the elections last year where the Electoral Commission managed it, that the voter involvement and turnout was three times greater than normal. It does make it easier for our ratepayers, which is a very important thing, and the more people that vote, the better the outcome is. We note that the quotation for this is $16,333. That money is well spent, and if it was done by our own officers, it would still cost dollars for their time, which again takes them away from their prime roles. So they propose, therefore, that we make the Electoral Commission responsible for this election, and that the method of conducting election will be as a postal election, and include provision in our 2025-26 budget for the costs associated with the WLA Electoral Commission running this election.
Councillor Brown.
I'd just like to add that yes, it does give us a greater level of transparency, but additionally the process for the distribution of preference votes can be very time consuming and complex. And although I have every confidence in our staff that would be capable of this task efficiently and effectively, you would expect that WAEC should be able to conduct this activity with ease, having the IT capacity and capability to assist in that process.
And I assume you said that with tongue in cheek after the fiasco in 2023. Councillor Fraser, you had a question.
Yes, Mr. President. I thought there was four councillors going up for a position this time, not three. So will that make a difference to the budget?
See ya.
We'll check that, but the WAEC advised us of three, but we've got four. So it would slightly amend it in terms of the cost, because they base it on number of candidates with an estimate based on going to account, but I'd be surprised if it would amend it by much, maybe another 10% or something like that, because we've had four in the past and the quotes have been similar. The main cost is if they basically predict it as if they're going to go to account, and then if it doesn't go to account, the cost comes in at less as well. So, but we will confirm that number.
Okay. Any other questions or speak for or against? If not, write a reply.
Just given that we're putting that in, but the motion just says to budget for it, for the cost. So when that cost is known, then we will vote, but then we'll put it in the budget.
Okay. Be prepared to vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. 11.5, payment of accounts. There on page 24. Moving to seconder. Payment of accounts, moving and seconded. Councillor Sly, Councillor Brown. No, Councillor Sly.
We support the opposite recommendation that we approve the payment accounts totaling $1,077,524.07 for the period 1st November 2024 to 31st December 2024, as detailed on the attachment 11.5.1 and 11.5.2.
Councillor Brown.
Yes, there's some note to the payments of accounts. I just wanted to also note in one of the payments there was Dan Murphy's online in regards to catering supplies for the November Ordinary Council meeting. I'm hoping that was just because of convenience and everything else, and that we would be looking at maybe supporting our local providers rather than big multinational out-of-towners.
Okay. Any other speak for or against? Councillor Fraser.
Can I ask a couple of questions, Mr. President? I see the skip bins are now for the Scott River are up to 3 per month. Is that just all the domestic waste or tourist waste? So are we getting a good collection? Are they filling them?
I'll refer to.
Through the chair, yeah, it's just been an increase, seasonal increase.
Park wood maintenance, did the fire shed for Carlotta for the white ants damage to the walls. I thought we'd get them sprayed yearly.
Do you know if
manager of infrastructure?
I'll have to take that on notice. What is that here?
And the other one is, I assumed that the Donnelly Hut people invited us as councillors to go down to the river. I'm just wondering why we actually had to pay the ferry up and down to take us there and that.
Who's paying the ferryman?
The CEO. Invite you, you know.
If you pay them to bring us back. I pay them to bring us back anyway.
Thank you for the opportunity to answer that. We did have to pay for our travel to get down there and back, and then we paid for lunch as well, which was part of the goodwill building that relationship back with that constituent group.
So it wasn't a free lunch?
No.
And I can recommend anyone in the audience, if you want a good boat trip, go down to the Donnelly, to the mouth. It's good data, a good 4 hours out. Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, Councillor Sly, you want to write a reply? No. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Financial activity statement for November and December 2024. Offer officer recommendation, page 26. Move and seconded, please. Councillor Curtis. Councillor Sly. Councillor Curtis.
Activity statement, financial management regulation 1996 receives both the financial activity statement for the period ending 30th of November 2024 as per attachment 11.6.1 and 31st of December 2024 as per attachment 11.6.2.
Councillor Sly. I'll
just make the observation that depreciation of non-current assets of 2.278 million has not been processed. Making a significant difference to the figures. At some point, I guess we're going to need to process that, don't we now? And also on the back page of material variances, it would be nice to have an explanation, some more information rather than just a timing issue. Now we're in December.
Yeah. Okay, for that. Mm-hmm.
Depreciations because the valuations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bigfoot. Who seconded it? Yes, you did. No. Anyone else want to? If not, write a reply. No. All those in favour? Against? Carried. Budget amendment request, micro servicing project. Okay. Councillor Hanson's moved. Councillor Brown has seconded. Councillor Hanson?
As part of their 2024-25 capital works schedule, Main Roads WA's identify Warren Road from Adam Street to the cemetery for micro servicing. The existing road service is both rutted and uneven, necessitating service correction to improve its condition, functionality and lifespan. But Main Roads will only look after the bit of the road that's driven on, so any bits on the side where you actually pull off and park your car goes to the Shire. It just makes logical sense that whilst they're in there and doing it, that we get them to do the parking, seal the parking bays along that same section at the same time. They've given us a cost estimate for the work at $52,000. And they're putting in a further $8,000 for contingencies with it. To necessitate that happening, there is required to be an amendment to the budget, which was adopted, the 2024-2025, that's already been done. It just means to get that money, little bit has come out of everywhere to create a space for it to go in for the micro-servicing. And so I move that be accepted.
Councillor Brown.
Yes, so it's unfortunate that we didn't know that this was going to come ahead and we've had to make some changes to our budget. But if we left this until later in the date, then it's actually going to cost us more. So it makes sense to deal with it at the same time as Main Roads are dealing with the main section of the road.
Anyone else want to speak for or against? If not, be prepared to vote. All those in favour? Against? Carried unanimously. Motions which prove and notice have been given. There are none. Meeting needs to be closed. We don't have any closed items. And I'll declare the meeting closed at 5:35. Thank you for your attendance.